Second half of the program begins right now. We go around the country, 2 minutes at a time, talking to the people, covering the stories where they are happening. Makes sense to me. We're live at ticketsforless.com. They're giving the people who want the tickets to the best events every single day. That's right. Tickets for Less has you covered. And Chiefs and Texans this Thursday, you can go see Patrick Mahomes make his first start as the true number one quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Tickets for Less is going to put you in club level seats for only $50, and you get a VIP tailgate tent pass. If that's not good enough, five different games to choose from: Bengals, Cardinals, Chargers, Raiders, Ravens. Excuse me, I'm all choked up about it. For the Mahomes four-pack, only $1.99 gets you four tickets to one of those games, one free parking pass, and one free mini football autographed by Patrick Mahomes. Celebrate football season, folks. Get to ticketsforless.com or call 913-685-3322. Only over the phone can you get the $99 club-level tickets for the Chiefs and Jags on October 7th, and nobody has cheaper parking than ticketsforless.com. $38 each for the parking when bought in advance from ticketsforless.com. Every single game is available for that number when it comes to the parking. It's at ticketsforless.com. Let's get going with the drill. We start in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Philly Billy Wardell, WCHE, is there. Billy, how are you, buddy?
Mr. Petro, how are you today?
Very good, and I had a chance to talk to your man, Doug Peterson, out at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe, and now official. I think it had been reported that it was coming, but now official that he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, have been extended through 2022. Good days for Doug Peterson. Good days for Eagle fans as well, though,
yes,
right?
A good day for Doug Peterson, because Doug Peterson, the one thing about Doug Peterson and talking to people that work in the front office, Doug Peterson is a very good listener. He listened to Tom Donahoe, Andy Weidel, and Joe Douglas. And that's so important when your coach can intermingle with his scouting staff, because he'll obviously give those three guys, who are the personnel guys, how he's the general manager and takes care of the cap and all that. But you need those personnel guys to have a great communication with him. And he has a tremendous communication with those three gentlemen and along with Howie Roseman. But that is very, very important.
We know how much the contract is for?
We do not know. They never release those terms. Only player terms are released. You know that as well as I do. It had to be a substantial increase for Doug Peterson. I think he was making probably in the area of 2.5, 2.7. I certainly think he's got to be in the top 12 as far as coaches in the NFL salary-wise.
Yeah, you would certainly hope so. That's for sure. I mean, you win a Super Bowl, that's pretty much punching the golden ticket. All right, so what's the vibe on camp and how it's gone so far? Sometimes there's a Super Bowl hangover, particularly a team that seemed to take the world by storm. The Bears followed up their great year with a 14-2 season, but really whimpered out in the postseason. Is this a team that you think is ready to defend?
I was down at practice today. A lot of enthusiasm. A lot of young guys are pushing for jobs. And that's important because, remember, going forward with this Eagle franchise, with Carson Wentz going to get a mega deal next offseason, they've got to be looking for young, cheap labor. And, some veterans right now, not at this point, are in jeopardy of losing their jobs. But when free agency comes in the offseason, they may go a packing because the Eagles have got to bring in young, cheap talent to compete and stay on course.
All right, the Phillies, they're in first place. Is the dream real?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Gabe Kapler has done a magnificent job after that first week. The first week was a disaster. These guys have bought in. Did they go crazy and try to make a trade at the deadline? They got Cabrera. They got Luke, the relief pitcher. And they've added some parts, and they also got Ramos, who's not going to be available till late August, the catcher. But I think they're on course. And the one thing, if you look at their schedule, it is very advantageous until the last 11 games of the season. Right now, they're not playing very many 500 teams or better. So the end of the season, I believe they have Atlanta, Colorado, Atlanta. So that'll tell the tale. in the month of September if this team's going to make their push into the postseason, which I think they're capable of doing. They've got two of the best young pitchers in Eflin and Arrieta. And, of course, they got the veteran in Eflin and Nola, I should say. And they have the veteran in Arrieta, who's pitched better than his numbers indicate.
Philly Billy Wendell in Philadelphia. Great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a great week.
I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Is Andy Reid a Hall of Fame coach?
Yes.
Well, he's the same as Marty Schottenheimer, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Marty's a Hall of Fame coach, too. Andy Reid's passed Marty on the win total, so he would be up there. But, yes, it's not just Super Bowls for getting into the Hall of Fame. It's what you did and what went on from you. Yes, I would say he absolutely is. Philly Billy, you're the man, buddy.
There's another guy that's outside looking in, Dick Vermeil. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think he should be as well.
All right.
Philly, you're the man. Have a great week.
Talk to you guys. Bye-bye. I've been to Reno, Chicago,
Fargo, Minnesota. Butch Stearns, WEEI in Boston, Mass. Is next. Matthew Kohler, ESPN 1500 in Minneapolis, Minnesota is next. Matthew, how are you?
I'm good. You got the friendlier of the sports markets.
Yes, I did. And Minnesota doing a nice job of giving Royals fans what they want, and that is, making their way towards the number one overall pick. We do appreciate that. Brian Dozier being dealt, though. You know, I get it. A lot of people could have predicted maybe a step back after such a surprising year next year. Is this Dozier trade a statement that they think, wow, last year was a complete fluke and they're really a long way away? Or is it part of a bigger plan and they really think they'll be back in contention next year?
Yeah, I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I mean, after last year, the management, Thad Levine, Derek Falvey had said, like, look, everything went right for us last year to get into the playoffs. You know, Irvin Santana had a great year, and they stayed mostly healthy, and Miguel Sano was an all-star. And then this year, everything kind of went the other way, where Miguel Sano struggled and had to be sent down to single A, and Byron Buxton has pretty much spent the entire year on the DL in one way or another. Irvin Santana is just starting to pitch again. So they looked at it as, you know, last year was a bit of a fluke, and we have to continue to kind of stay the course here and not panic just because they did well, you know, last year, and it looked like they were a little bit ahead of schedule. And a lot of Twins fans were upset to see Brian Dozier go, because that's a guy who came up through the system and became one of the best second basemen in the league. But looking at the contract situation, I mean, they had been kind of anticipating him leaving for some time, and his name had been in the rumors for probably about 2 years, because they just didn't think he was going to sign a long-term contract. And then when you look down the prospect pool, you know, you have someone like Nick Gordon who could be the long-term second baseman. So I think that this team has had, pretty much from the beginning of the year when it started off badly, they've had their eyes on who could they trade and how could they fill out the prospect pool.
Yeah. All right. Did they get enough for him?
No, I mean, but I don't know if you ever do, really. When everyone knows that you have to trade a guy, it just never really works out. I mean, they could have kept him around and tried to give him the qualifying offer, but he probably wasn't going to take it. And what became really clear with Dozier is that he was salty about how things had been handled. I think he wanted a contract extension, and they never really came to him with it. And he didn't like the fact that his name was in the rumors all the time for that 2 year span. So I think there was a little bit of bad blood between them by the end, and they didn't get this huge, a bunch of huge prospects coming back. But I think that's just kind of the nature of the game. And then it hurt them too that Dozier really hasn't had a great year. The last 2 years, he's been one of the best power hitters, even overall in Major League Baseball. And then this year, it just hasn't quite been the same. So of course, he goes out to L.A. and hits a home run his first at-bat.
Let's turn to the Vikings. Stephen Diggs gets a contract extension. This is certainly – he's been outstanding for them. I would assume if they're handing this contract out, they feel like he's getting along very well and meshing with Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah, I mean, what they look at with Stephon Diggs is just how much he meant to the success of Case Keenum last year. I mean, Pro Football Focus had a great stat that on contested catches, Diggs caught more or a higher percentage than any other wide receiver in the NFL. And I was witness to many of them where Case Keenum would just kind of throw it up, and you saw this in the Minneapolis Miracle, and Stephon Diggs would go get it. But we saw that all season long. And, for a guy who's a fifth-round pick, he has risen up in these 4 years to become one of the best, or I guess 3 years in a camp now, one of the best wide receivers, I think, in the entire NFL when you look at how what he does for his quarterbacks when they throw in his direction. And I think he would have much better fantasy stats if Adam Thielen didn't exist. But having both of them, Kirk Cousins has got to be thrilled, especially when he comes from a team that, you know, let a couple of really good wide receivers walk in DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. Well, he's going to be able to know that he has Stephon Diggs for a really long time.
Yeah. You can't sign everyone, right? A lot of money going to Kirk Cousins. Is this spell the end for somebody else? I mean, if he's getting paid, is there another guy that's coming up that it probably means that they're not going to be able to keep?
Yep, the big name is Anthony Barr, and he's the last guy. They went into this offseason with four big names that didn't have contracts beyond this season, and they've signed three of them. They signed Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, and Stephon Diggs, and now the question is whether they'll be able to get a deal done for Anthony Barr, but it's starting to sound more and more like Anthony Barr is going to play hardball with them and force them to either break the bank to keep him or franchise him next year or try to hit the market. And at some point it does become really tricky, but when you look at the Vikings salary cap, they really handle it beautifully. So next year they could decide to move on from some guys that might not be the most valuable players but are making a little bit too much money, or they drafted a cornerback this year so they could let Trey Waynes walk or let him go instead of keeping him on his fifth-year option. Like, they have a lot of different ways that they could go to keep Anthony Barr if they want to. It just depends on how much they value him as a linebacker and as a part of the number one defense, or if they look at it like he's more of a passenger than a driver. But I do know that Mike Zimmer loves Anthony Barr and really wants to keep him. It's just, you know, it seems like the two sides right now aren't that close.
Matthew Coller in Minneapolis. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
Anytime. Thank you.
Now Butch Stearns, WEEI in Boston, Massachusetts. I jumped the gun earlier. Butch, how are you, buddy?
I was all confused, Saran. My first day back from vacation. I don't have my standard music. I didn't know what to do.
Tell me, the Red Sox got to be feeling good after getting that sweep against the Yankees. Are they now definitively, are the Astros in their rearview mirror?
As far as the power of the American League, or are you just talking about the number one seed by the end of the season?
I think if you're number one in the American League, you're number one overall, aren't you?
Well, here's what I'm saying. Red Sox fans, it's an interesting dynamic. They just don't obsess about the team anymore. They always obsess about the Patriots. And the Celtics have taken over the mindset of people because, like the Patriots, they make it worth your while, the investment. Whether you're following them, going to the games, or whatever, they sort of, what they did in the playoffs last year, playing with house money and all that. The Red Sox have been up and down and up and down, first to last, for a long time now. And after 04, everything changed for them. So when you put that all into perspective, as great a year as they had, make no mistake about it, they've had the best year in baseball by far. Mookie Betts, to me, is there's nobody close. Well, there's people close, but he's the best player in baseball. And Chris Sale's probably the most consistent stud in baseball. Yet all that said, Red Sox fans are still waiting for the playoffs. They have a lot to prove with this team. I don't want to take anything away from what they just did. It was a magical series against the Yankees. I'm old enough to remember when the Yankees always did this to the Red Sox. So to have it, the tables turned, is great. But let's be honest, no Judge, you know, no Sanchez. It's like without one of Mookie, you know, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, or whoever in that lineup. But still, they took care of business. They're having a great season. But, you know, I mean, they got 50 games left to get the number one seed, if you want to call it that, and then prove what they can do in the playoffs. And everybody on this team has a lot to prove in the playoffs.
They get Ian Kinsler, and he promptly goes on the DL. What's the feeling about the acquisition of Kinsler?
Well, the feeling was that second base has been their one big weakness all year, both defensively and offensively. And Kinsler is a veteran. You know, look, Dombrowski's made moves that people have criticized this year, but he's had the Midas touch. Steve Pierce, you know?
Right.
And just other moves that he's made, that's made some nice moves. He did not get that bullpen arm. He did not get Zach Britton. He did not get the guy that Houston got, a couple of them, Osuna and the other one. But so we'll see. Again, I'm off vacation. What'd you ask me?
I was talking about whether or not the signing is liked, or do they feel like they got damaged goods when he immediately goes on the DL?
Oh, Ian Kinsler. No, yeah. I don't think so. He just pulled a hamstring. Okay. And by the way, he was one of those guys, you love it as a veteran baseball guy, when you pick up a veteran to stick him in there, you know, you don't have a lot of questions. And, of course, he produced right away and did a lot better than – as a matter of fact, there was a story, I don't know if you saw it, but the second night he was in the lineup, Eduardo Nunez was in the clubhouse and said, finally, we got somebody who can play second base. And that he took Nunez's place, basically. And
yeah,
so that was Nunez joking around being a veteran. But that's kind of the dynamic on this team. They really want
to – Yeah, and it speaks to the good chemistry they've got in that clubhouse.
Right.
I know they're saying all the right things about Chris Sale. He's going to be back this week. Maybe they're going to wait so he doesn't have to bat in an NL park, but he's going to be back either sooner or later this week. But how much of a are you holding your breath if you're a Red Sox fan that when he comes back he doesn't come right back out and then say, you know, wow, it's not right?
Well, you nailed it, Sarin. This is not like – I mean, we've seen the Patriots go to Super Bowls and win them without Gronk, without Edelman last year they got there, and other things. But they have Brady. You take Sale out of the equation, that now puts your $30 million David Price at the top again, and we all know his playoff history. So I'll believe it when I see it. I know they have basically, what, 6-7 weeks to get it straight and get them ready for October. What this series did for them is, I mean, 9.5 is an awful big lead with, what, 50 games to go. So I think they can afford to baby Sale. Alex Cora said after the game last night that he hasn't thrown a bullpen. That's why we're being a little cautious. But let's be honest. They just swept the Yankees so they can afford it. So I'm with you. Until I see it, you know, I'd be babying the heck out of him until it's time for the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's why you go ahead and crush the Yankees when you got the opportunity to get yourself to where you can get everybody healthy and be rested and ready to go and start lining things up to go at the Astros. 79-34, playing basically 700 baseball, outscoring their opponents by 191 runs. It's been really impressive by the Boston Red Sox so far this year, no doubt. Pats cut Jordan Matthews. Listen, it's a name. He's notable. He's had some decent years. Anything to see here? Is that just a sign that he is done, or is it a sign that Malcolm Mitchell's looking good and, you know, they like some of their young wide receivers they've got in camp?
Well, I think it was a sign that they were going to sign Eric Decker, number one. Number two, I was on vacation when they cut him, and I was there the first 3 days of camp, and all of us, every single person said, this is a guy that Brady's going to love. He's going to fit in. He's a possession guy, blah, blah, blah. How many times have we seen this, that a big name comes into Patriots camp and he's gone? Just whatever, or he doesn't just fit in. Joey Galloway, Ocho Cinco, Joseph Addai was another one who came in years ago. I was like, wow, this could be great. So it doesn't shock me anymore. I think Belichick actually did him a favor, cutting him early so he could hook on with somebody else. It's not that he doesn't have anything left, I don't think. It's just that they made their internal decisions. Good luck trying to find the answers. And they were going to sign Eric Decker. Now we'll see what Eric Decker does. I mean, the one big thing with the Patriots offensively is that Julian Edelman is going to be out for 4 games. And it might be a blessing for him because he's admitted that his knee has taken time and he's not the same player right now. So
Edelman's not.
They still have,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say they still have Gronk and they still have Brady. So they have a lot less problems than a lot of other teams on offense.
And they do, and I'm just curious, for when Edelman's suspended, when they start the year and they go 3 wide, which they do a lot with Gronk and 3 wide receivers, Chris Hogan will be out there. Who are the other two guys that will be out there with him in your mind?
Interesting question. I mean, you got two Edelman clones in Braxton Berrios, who was a draft pick from down
Miami.
In Florida, and then you got Riley McCarron. Riley McCarron, if you look at his pedigree and you look at what he's done and spent a year on the practice squad and paid his dues, I'm not saying he's going to be this guy, but he's Wes Welker. He's Julian Edelman. Unheralded, undrafted, paid his dues, possession receiver. So I don't know about that. But one thing, Sarin, people forget, especially from afar, running backs are receivers in this offense. And they got a ton of them. Sony Michel tweaked his knee. They don't think it's that bad, but they're going to baby him. But James White is as good a back as there is in the league as far as a Swiss Army knife. And then you got Rex Burkhead. You got Mike Gillisley, you got Sony Michel, and they got Jeremy Hill. My goodness, I never realized how big Jeremy Hill was until I saw him in training camp. So Brady will find a way for the first 4 weeks to get 20 catches out of a group of receivers and running backs.
Yeah, no doubt. And Braxton Berrios, same kind of guy from Miami. He's like an undersized white guy, you know, exactly looks like the part of Wes Welker. So you can see what they might be thinking with some of those young guys, no doubt. Butch Stearns in Boston, always great talking to you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Have my music ready next time, Sarin.